Jeremiah chapter number 17. I have to say this just for clarification and my own conscience. I've been now, November will be 7 years. I've been full-time in evangelism on the road, and I've been a lot of. I'm out about 200 days a year, about 57,000 miles a year driving, and I have preachers all the time who will say, "If you're ever coming through here, drop in." You know? And I never do.
Yeah.
In those almost 7 years, I think I tried to count up. I think maybe five times I've just dropped in. A lot of times on Sunday, I feel funny about it sometimes. But I'll be honest with you, I've been up near Bristol this week in revival, finished up this morning, and I've had it on my mind.
Amen.
Since about Wednesday.
Yes.
Knowing I wouldn't have anywhere to be on Sunday night, and this Bible Baptist church has been on my mind.
Yep.
And so I just came to sit in the back and just to be fed and just to enjoy the service with many friends. And I appreciate the church. The Jubilee is always such a wonderful help to us. And I appreciate that in my life the Lord has helped me in many ways I cannot even express through that time. But I want to give you a short thought tonight. The Lord worked in my heart. I've actually been working on this message since the first week of July. And so I've whittled on it and formed it and reshaped it and broke it down and rebuilt it four or five times. It started out as a Mustang, and I think it may be a four-wheel drive truck now. I'm not sure what it was. But we'll give you two verses tonight in Jeremiah chapter number 17. And stay on time here because I know what's ahead. I stand between you and refreshments. And I don't want to hear me preach too long either. All right, Jeremiah 17, verse number 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I want to draw our attention tonight, verse number 8, to the word where it says that spreadeth out her roots. I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight on this thought, on our roots.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, help us now, God. I'm trying to obey you, Lord, and I appreciate the privilege of preaching this this behind this sacred desk. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Gravely, his friendship, his example and witness in the Bible Baptist Church and the sterling reputation they have in the world around them. And I pray, God, tonight you'll help us in Jesus' name, God's people said.
Amen.
Trees are all over this world, just almost every place except I think maybe in the Arctic or the Antarctica and places like that. But God created trees, and he created all sorts and kinds of trees. And I love trees. They're just amazing to me, slow growing and majestic and fruitful and all different sorts of uses, everything from the giant redwoods and sequoias out in the Pacific states and our pine trees and birch trees and aspens and poplars. I love all those. The mahoganies of Africa and ebony and the acacia tree over there in the Middle East and the Japanese ginkgo. They're all beautiful in their own way and they all have certain purposes. You know, and then there are some trees that are just kind of pesky and, you know, a good old sweet gum tree. All you country boys that grew up barefooted in the summertime, you don't really like a sweet gum tree too much because them little porcupine balls they put out. You know, and you step on those things with your barefoot. Isn't that right? There's some trees that are a little aggravating. My favorite trees are those that, well, the pecan and the walnut and almond, the apple tree, amen, the peach tree, the banana tree. I love those trees that feed me. Isn't that right? Because I like to be fed, right? But God has trees all over this world. And when God created trees, he gave them one thing in common. They all have roots. All of those trees have roots, and every root sprang out of a seed, a singular seed that fell to the ground or was planted, and those roots began to do their work. Roots are not usually seen. Roots are, however, very necessary to the life of the tree. Roots, they never stop growing. And they keep on going. There's two main functions of roots. It's very easy to see and understand. Number one, I would suggest to you that one of the main purposes of roots is the sustenance of the tree, the sustaining, where the water is pulled up from the ground and the nutrients are pulled from the ground up through those roots into the tree to make it grow and to put on the leaves and to put on the fruit. Secondly tonight, and I think maybe possibly just as important, and the thing that I want us to look at tonight is not just the sustaining and the sustenance of the tree, but the stability of the tree. Roots are there to give stability to those giant trees. The baobab tree of Africa grows 100 feet around. Those sequoia trees out there in California, it says that their roots spread over an acre around those trees. Why? Because those trees need support. Ephesians compares that to us in Ephesians 3 when it says we are to be rooted and grounded in love. We've got some roots in our life, and I suggest to you tonight that we need to have the right roots in our life. The singular, and I would say the first primary root that comes into the child of God is the root of salvation that we get. When the seed of faith receives that germination, if you will, and the root of salvation begins to dig down deep in our soul. Ephesians 2:8 still says it right, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Amen. That's the root of salvation. The Bible says over in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That faith of salvation is a deep root in our life. It gives us stability when doubt and the lack of assurance comes. Hey, the root of salvation keeps us stable. Isn't that right? Proverbs 12:3 says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. We need the root of salvation in our life. Secondly, tonight I'll say we need the root of the Savior in our life. The Savior, He is the tap root. In our scripture tonight, it says, the man that trusteth in the Lord, trusteth in the Lord, not trusteth in himself, not even trusteth in the world around him or his intellect or education or his influence, but no, his trust is in the Lord. When the world turns its back on us, and friends walk away from us, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the root of our life, the salvation one, Savior himself, Jesus Christ. He was himself by prophecy a root. Isn't that right? Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He said of himself in Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. We need to have the root of the Savior in our life. We need the root of salvation. We need the root of the Savior. We need the root of the Spirit in our life. We are sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30 says. 1 Peter 1:5 says we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That Spirit of God is an anchor in our life who is standing with us when the joy just seems like it's unexplainable in the time of turmoil. A peace that is unexplainable when the world is shaking around us, when the heavy winds blow and the rains beat upon us, the root of the Spirit keeps us steady. The root of the Savior, the root of salvation, the root of the Spirit. But I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad I've got the root of the Scripture in my life. I'm glad I've got the root of the Scripture in my life. Psalm 119 says it in almost every verse. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When temptation comes, I've got the root of the Scripture in my life. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The world may try to change it. The world may try to modify it. The world may try to copyright a different version of it. But the word is settled in heaven. It's the root of my life. Verse 105 says, thy a word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When it gets dark out in this whole world, I got the root of the Scripture to keep me steady. Amen. Isn't that right? Verse 14 of that chapter says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. The root of the Scripture keeps us from falling and stumbling. Isn't that right? Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. It is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments, he says, endureth forever. The word of the Lord, Peter said, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. I'm telling you tonight, we have to have the root of Scripture in our life. I thought about this one. We need to have the root of supplication and prayer in our life. Jude said it this way in verse 20, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I know, I've seen those times in my life, those dark days in my life, Brother Stout, when it was in the chemo labs and the radiation labs and the surgery waiting rooms and even in the funeral home and even in the cemetery. I could go to my secret place, but I could bow and say a simple prayer as my heart was breaking and the world was darkening. I could cry out and I got the anchor of supplication to keep me steady when the world around me is falling all to pieces. I thought about this one just this morning. I wouldn't even preach it this morning, but I just keep this message just been on my mind. I'm glad I've got the anchor of the saints in my life. Hey, I love the church. I like to be in the church. It ain't got to even be my home church, Wahoo Baptist. I'm just glad to be in a Bible-believing Baptist church that believes this word is true and that Jesus is the Son of God and that there's a heaven to go to someday and there's a hell to shun. I'm glad I've got the saints in my life. Paul said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for the saints of God who came along beside me and put their arm under mine and said, I know you're weary and I know you're broken down and I know you want to quit, but we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're here for you. We're supplying for you. We're strengthening with you. We'll come alongside you. I don't know what I'd do without the church and the root of the saints in my life. Oh, listen, I told the folks this week earlier, Wednesday morning, me and Addie, my youngest daughter, we've moved about 30 minutes close to mom and dad. They're getting in their 80s and they're both heart patients. And we moved over to Gadsden, Alabama, just down I-59 over there. And they got my daughter, she didn't really shame me into it, but she suggested that I should go join the Planet Fitness. So I have. I don't know what she's trying to say about that, but at 54 years old, I went back in the gym, you know. And so Wednesday morning, I was going to get up and do a little quick little workout before I headed up to Bristol. And I skipped my warm-up. I got this little routine. I warm up, get all this juice, you know, all the lubrication going and all the places that need to be, you know, all that squeaking business. And I thought, I'll just skip that because I'm kind of in a hurry and I'll just go over here and hit this for a second. Man, I did my first little set of exercises and I got up and I went, And every man over the age of 40 can point with his thumb right now to that one spot in your back where you've been brushing your teeth and you bend over and go, or rinse your hair off and get the shampoo out of your hair in the shower and you go, Man, that little spot right back down there, son, it grabbed like it bit like a copperhead. I knew. And I thought, uh-oh. And Addie girl, she was like, Daddy, you just need to call and tell him you can't come. I said, I got to go, girl. I got to go. If I have to sit down and preach, I'm going. And I made her load up all my stuff for being satisfied. I said, go get my suitcase and help me load. And I got up there, and man, I was hurting. I was stretching. I sat on ice packs, and I put on the heat seater. Them heat seaters is not for wintertime. That's for lower back pain. That's what that's for. I didn't say nothing to anybody. But I told Addie girl, and I told just a couple little people. I said, pray for me in my back. But then I didn't mention it to a whole lot of people, Brother Laddie, but I put on those little traveling time things. Pray for me. I'm going to this meeting this week. Wednesday night service. And I went in and I sat down on the front row right over there on that side. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're going to have to help me because these people are going to think I'm, you know, afflicted, getting up here trying to walk around with this back. And the preacher called me up there. And I stood up out of that little pew. And I couldn't explain it, but I took that first step. And, buddy, there wasn't a bit of pain in my back. I was loose as a goose. and I preached in power. And I didn't even think about it till I sat back down and I said, my back don't even hurt. Hey, that's nothing that I've done. That's nothing that I could produce. There wasn't an ibuprofen hitting it a lick. But the people of God were praying for me, saying, bless Brother Adam as he goes to preach. And God knew exactly what I needed even when they didn't. I got to have the saints. I got to have the root of the saints in my life. We got to have the right roots, but I'm going to tell you what we got to have also. We got to have the right pursuits. Yes. You know those roots, they never stop growing. They never stop reaching. They never stop digging. They keep going down and going down. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 says this, seek the Lord and His strength and seek His face continually. Mankind around us, and God help us, even the church. Probably not y'all, but all them other wicked churches I'm in 53 weeks out of the year. We're seeking all sorts of things. We're seeking prosperity. We're seeking success. We're seeking acceptance. We're seeking followers and likes and all of those types of things. But those are the wrong pursuits. He says, seek the Lord. We're to further be every day going down. I would tell you, I would suggest it this way. When I hit the ground in the morning, I'm getting down there seeking the Lord. I'm digging for more of the Lord. Psalm 105 says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. We need to be seeking the Lord. Our roots need to be reaching deeper and farther for Him, for His water, that His supply of nutrients that we need. We need the right roots. We need the right pursuits. Zephaniah said it this way. Zephaniah 55 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I'm glad that every time that I've gone to seek Him, He's always there. He's always there. We got to have the right roots. We all got always got to be seeking. We got to have the right pursuits. Jesus said it this way in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. I don't want to make anybody mad and mess up your little family dynamic or your personal philosophy or anything, but I'm of this opinion right now as a dad of two young ladies, a 19 and a 23-year-old just got married. Bless my heart. I think the American dream has messed the church up. We parents mean well. We're trying to help our children and study hard and do the things. But I think that we instill way too soon, figure out what you're going to do for a living. You need to work hard, get you a scholarship. You need to go to college. You need to get a degree. You need to do this. You need to do that. You do. And then maybe figure out later what the Lord needs you. See, all these other things will be added, he says.
That's right.
I think it's about high time that little ones, and these young men and these young ladies right here need to know, hey, seek the Lord in your youth, before you seek a career, before you seek a spouse, before you seek a fortune, seek the Lord. Dig your roots deep in Him. Seek after Him and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. We got to have the right roots. We got to have the right pursuits. You know, sometimes, though, there's the wrong roots. In fact, the very first mention of the word roots in your Bible in the book of Deuteronomy is about the wrong kind of root. It says over there in Deuteronomy 29:18, lest there should be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go serve the little g gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, those bitter, bitter things. You can have the wrong roots that are seeking the wrong pursuits. Hebrews 12:5 says, looking diligently, lest any man should fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I tell you, I don't know if y'all have ever had a garden or a shrubbery bed or anything like that, or you've tried to clear out any new ground, but who many would testify that those pesky weeds and those pesky trees and those pesky bushes have the deepest and the gnarliest and the hardest roots. You can't just pull them up. You got to dig them jokers out. You got to get down there and dig deep and dig all around and slice them off and dig to get that tap root up. It seems like the things with the strongest roots are sometimes the wrong roots.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that root of bitterness, I tell you what it'll do. It'll ruin you. It'll take over and it'll intertwine itself and it'll try to choke out all them other roots in your life, in my life. That bitterness root, we can have the wrong root. 1 Timothy, Paul said to his protege over there in chapter number 6, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Because if money was the root of all evil, then we wouldn't take up offerings. And therefore, we wouldn't have lights and air conditioning in church houses. Money is in and of itself is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's a wrong root. That's a rotten root in our life, possibly. There's weak roots. Jude told us about some rotten roots. Jude chapter 1. Oh, you Bible readers get that joke, don't you? Verse number 12. He's talking about these filthy dreamers and the ones that evil speaking and self-corrupting, going the way of Cain. He said, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds are they without water, carried about with winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I'm telling you, the wrong roots in your life will ruin you.
That's right.
It'll ruin your pursuits. Sometimes the storms of life, though, they reveal not necessarily wrong roots and not necessarily rotten roots, but sometimes they'll reveal shallow roots. Shallow roots. In that parable of the sower, Matthew 13, Jesus has given that parable. He's talking about the broadcasting of those seeds, and they fall in different places. And there's those that fall on the stony places. He told his disciples, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. He goes on to explain when they asked. He said, he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The strength of the root is really revealed when the storm and the pressure comes. When the dry time comes, the drought, he says. When the storms and the winds test the tree's roots. When I was a little boy, I'll give you this in 2 minutes. My daddy, he was an ag teacher on Cherokee County, Alabama. Cherokee County High School. And as a side job, he would do little landscaping jobs. He'd do little houses, little office complexes, things like that. Nothing big, just us and our little pickup truck, a couple of shovels, and a 5-gallon bucket full of grass seed. That was our, you know, broadcast. I was the broadcaster. I was the, you know, I was the seedster. And we'd go and we'd do these little things, and we'd set out trees. And we were sitting out, and I remember one time in this yard over there in Center, Alabama, over there, we were setting out these trees. I would have been about fourth grade. And we set out these trees. We dug down. We got the root ball out, and we spread it all out. And we came and compacted around there. We watered. We packed it around. And we got that all good and everything. I said, hey, Daddy, are we gonna put any of them little strings around it, you know, like they do at the big landscaping job? He said, no, we ain't putting no strings on that thing. I said, well, Daddy, the big landscapers, they put those little cotton, you know, strands down. Those little, they look pretty. They look professional. And they're all staked out. He said, you don't want to do that to that tree. Yeah. I said, why not, Daddy? He said, because that weakens the roots. See, the only way, son, that those roots are going to reach out, and the only way those roots are going to reach deep, and the only way those roots are going to be able to hold that tree up is if they withstand the wind.
Amen.
I'm afraid there's a lot of Christian folks who are being held up by memes and podcasts and social media theology and all sorts of everything that's nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
And when the wind comes in their life, they have no strength to stand.
Amen.
They don't have the root of the Savior. They don't have the root of the Spirit. They don't have the root of the Scripture. They don't have the root of the supplication and prayer. They don't have the root of the saints.
Yep.
And they're relying on the pretty little cotton-stranded support systems of the external world. No. That's not gonna give you the strength. That's not gonna strengthen the roots. That's not gonna allow the roots to dig in and hold on. Because the storms are coming. The rains are surely gonna fall. Tornadoes in this part of the world. I'm telling you, we gotta have strong roots. I tell you what happens when those winds do come and those storms do come. Many a tree will fall over. Big trees. I'm talking about big old gigantic trees, oak trees or something like that. And you drive by and you see those trees turned over some little storm. And I thought, but it really didn't blow that hard. And you look and there's this gigantic big old tree and roots about that long. Just flipped up. And I was like, well, no wonder it fell. Hardly had any roots to help hold it up. It says when those things come, they are offended. You know how you can tell somebody doesn't have the right roots in their life? The preacher says one little thing about anything, and they go. We passed 10 more churches on the way over here. We'll just go to one of them. Shallow. Shallow roots. We got to have the right roots. We cannot see the roots. I'm almost finished, preacher. I'm finishing up right here. We cannot see the roots, but they're vitally important to the tree. Let me give you one more little thing and we'll close in my part of things and we'll go on. I'll tell you how I came to study this message at our teen camp in July over there, the Power 2 teen camp, Brother Stroud and Brother Dwayne Moore run. Sister Natalie Raines, y'all know the Raines family comes to the Jubilee. She was singing a special, and in between a verse and a chorus, she stopped and she gave a little testimony. And Brother Josh and Miss Natalie, they've seen some hard times. They've had 3 babies lost to miscarriage in the last couple of years. They've seen some dark days in their young married life, Brother Ben. She began to testify about growing up with her dad, Doug Raines, and her grandfather, Larry Raines. And she began to tell about when she was a young girl watching those men stand up under such pressure and adversarial conflict and how they were able to stand, and the saints in her life that she witnessed who had the right roots. And she said, I decided as a young girl, as a teenage girl, I was going to dig my roots deep down in God, and I was going to dig my roots deep down in the Word. She made this statement. And when she said this, every preacher in the place got up and walked around and started scribbling. She said this, if you will get some anchors in your life and believe that He is good and He is kind and He is right, when the branches of your life are being blown around like crazy, the roots will never move. I'm glad I've got some roots in my life. I was just thrilled listening to the testimony of the gentleman behind me. I couldn't see who it was, who said, it's just a blessing to see my children up in that youth choir. You know what they're getting? They're getting roots. Every time they come here and they come into a spiritual service, those roots are digging down deep. Every time they hear their pastor take open the Word of God and preach what thus saith the Lord, those roots are growing down deep in those little hearts and minds and souls. Every time something bad happens in somebody's life, somebody's passing away, and the church comes together and rallies around, and somehow there's a peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
The roots keep growing. Oh, I want to have the right roots. I want to have the right pursuits. And here's what the result will be. Well, if we'll have the right roots, if we'll have the right pursuits, we'll have the right fruits. It says there in verse number 8, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The right roots give us the right fruit. You know the fruits of the Spirit, that love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and all those things, gentleness. The right fruit. See, the branch, which is what we are, the branch doesn't produce, it just bears the fruit.
That's right.
The fruit is produced because of what the roots are reaching for and what the roots are drawing up through that tree, that vine. I want to have the right fruits in my life. I want to display the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I want to have some substance in my life. I want to have some sweetness in my life.
Yeah.
Even if it takes some sanctification and some scrutiny.
That's right.
A lot of you back in the springtime, you planted out some corn, planted out some peas and some beans, and you know what that means. When that stuff begins to come up, you have to take your little grubbing hoe out there and you have to thin it out. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Why? Because you want plenty of fruit.
Right.
But if there's something else on those little, when that watermelon vine gets to going and you get those, on that, you trace that vine and there's that one melon that starts to grow, what do? You go pick off all those other little suckers. Isn't that right? Because
right.
You don't want anything to distract and anything to rob that melon from
That's
getting
right.
all it needs.
Yeah.
Yep. Sometimes having the right fruit means a little sanctification, a little pruning. But see, the pruning don't hurt the roots.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
The roots just keep on digging.
That's right.
And the roots just keep on digging. If we're going to have the right fruit in our life, we're going to have the right roots. Jesus said this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And you can do, without me, you can do nothing. I wonder about the roots of our lives. I want to have the right roots. I want to have the right pursuits. And God help me, I want to bear the right fruits. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight for the opportunity to stand and give this short word tonight on the roots of our life.